You are Locked On Magic, your daily podcast on the Orlando Magic, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is June 28th, 2019. My name is Philip Rosenreich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. And of course, follow me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode of Locked On Magic, I'll be playing a crossover podcast that I did with Stephen Cameron of Close Up Magic as we discuss everything going on in the Magic's offseason as free agency is right around the corner. In fact, this is our last episode of the season, technically, but our last episode before free agency begins on June 30th at 6 o'clock. We'll be back here on Monday to discuss any moves the Magic make, discuss all the rumors that might be flying around, and maybe go into a little bit more detail of what's in front of the Magic if they haven't done anything. We'll talk about what's going on around the league, as obviously this is a big free agency. But I wanted to leave you this weekend, and I know it's a little bit late in the weekend, but I wanted you to leave you this weekend with a big, you know, wide-ranging discussion of what the Magic are up against and what the Magic can do this year in free agency. So I hope that you enjoy it. But before we do any of that, I do want to remind you all that you can check out all the great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network to stay up to date on free agency from every perspective. Just like there's a podcast covering the Orlando Magic with the excruciating detail we do here, there's a podcast covering every single team in the NBA with the same level of care and detail that you find here from local experts who know their team best. That's who you want to hear from. You want to get the lowdown on what the Los Angeles Lakers are doing? Check out Locked On Lakers. You think the Kings might be willing to poach Nikola Vucevic? Check out Locked On Kings. You can find a podcast for every taste and flavor of NBA team, plus NFL, MLB, and colleges too. You can find them all on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Himalaya, all the fun places to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device today.
All right, everyone, and like I said, we got Philip Rossman, right of Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, joining us tonight. We've been planning this episode for a week or two now, excited to talk with each other. Philip, thanks for coming on, and how are you doing tonight?
I am doing good. I am holding my breath, ready for free agency to start. It feels like it's been forever, and we're finally going to get some questions answered.
Oh yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks with the draft. I almost forget that the Toronto Raptors even won the championship because there's so much other stuff has gone on. It's crazy. But you know, draft's coming up, or we just had the draft. Free agency is right around the corner on Sunday. I'm actually going to be out of town that day, so I'm kind of glad that I'm going to be able to like just come back in the evening and just catch up and not be stressing about it every 2 seconds. So that'll be fun. But you know, let's just spend a minute and talk about the draft before we go into free agency, even though that'll be primarily what we talk about this evening. But we just had the draft. We drafted Chuma Okeke. I was a bit shocked like most people, but once I started learning about him, I'm like so excited that he's on the team, and I think he's going to really fit and fill a lot of holes that this team need, you know, in the second unit when he's healthy, and potentially some really interesting lineups when, you know, he develops a bit more and potentially could be a starter. Who knows? But also, we sold the second round pick, which we can get to in a second. But overall, what are your thoughts on Okeke? And I mean, you think the Magic redshirt him this year? I almost think they should and just let him come back as a freshman the following summer or the following year. I don't know. Those are kind of my thoughts. What are you thinking so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was as surprised as everyone that the Magic took Okeke at 16. I had him kind of as a late first round, early second round pick. I felt like the torn ACL was just a really big risk to take, or not a huge risk because ACL injuries aren't the biggest deal in the world anymore.
Sure.
But for a Magic team that we'll talk about in free agency coming up here, but for a Magic team that was coming off their first playoff appearance, that you know didn't have a lot of resources to add quality players to the roster. You know, not that you expect a rookie to come in and light up the world, but I did think the Magic needed to get draft someone that would contribute something in their first year. And so, you know, I think there is a fair criticism to say, okay, you drafted Okeke, who's probably not going to play at all his rookie year, or his true rookie year at least. You know, that definitely raises a few eyebrows. Now, you know, he tore his ACL in March, early April. So there's a potential that he'll be back and ready to play by January. I imagine they'll have him do some rehab starts in Lakeland and spend some time there. That's what it's there for, at least. But, you know, if you're in the middle of a playoff hunt, it's hard to add a new player to the mix, especially when he's a rookie like Okeke is. But you know, when I started to find, you know, when I started finally to look at who Okiki is as a player, I have to say he started checking off all the boxes for what you look for in a guy, like positional versatility, length, strong defense, good 3-point, you know, a good spot up 3-point shooter. He's got good footwork in the post, honestly, for a guy his size. And yeah, he probably plays a little more 3-4 than kind of perimeter style 3. But, you know, I think he can grow into a lot of those elements. And at 16, I'm not looking to draft a star. Like, I think there's a lot of people who are like, oh, this clearly means Aaron Gordon's on his way out. I don't think it means that at all. I think it means they have now three guys who can play that 3-4 hybrid position so they don't change their style of play when they bring guys off the bench. I think Okiki fits really well as a 3. And, you know, maybe in certain lineups you could play him a little bit as a big 2 even. So the Magic, sure, I think, got a lot of things that they really like in Okiki. It was clearly a guy they really liked because they took him even though he tore his ACL at 16. And so I'm slowly selling myself on the pick. Definitely some questions, obviously, and you know, I'm not expecting him to you know, destroy the world when he is healthy, but he's a guy that just fits what the Magic want on the court as well as culturally, honestly.
Yeah, I overall kind of gave the draft a B+, because they're wasn't much. Yeah, we don't have anything we can use this year, in my opinion, and that kind of sucks. But at the same, you know, it didn't address any guard need, which I was really hoping for as well. But you know, when I learned about Okiki, he fits the mold on the court and off the court. He is a character guy. Every time I hear about him, how much his team loved him, and he just seems like he's really excited to be here and just to do whatever he needs to do to help the team win. And of course, a lot of those are just copy and paste answers that like every rookie is going to say into a microphone, but he seems to check every box, and I'm pretty stoked to have him. It sucks we're not going to see him much this year, but you know, honestly, I'm sort of used to that with how Bamba didn't play for a good amount of the end of the season last year, and Isaac was basically out the entire freshman, you know, his rookie year. So it's no surprise, a little bit of a bummer to have this repeated injury thing going on, but it is what it is, and I think he's going to be a really nice addition when he is healthy, and it gives him a lot of time to just learn and study the game, which is never a bad thing, so he can come back and be really strong his rookie season, whether it's part of, you know, the end of this season coming up or the following year, which again I'm kind of leaning more towards the following year. But we had a second pick in the second round and we drafted someone and basically sold that pick to the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of people were upset about that. We did have a couple listener questions asking us to address this, and you know, listeners with the questions, we had a lot of you reach back to us on Twitter, so unfortunately, like, we're probably not going to shout you guys out, but we appreciate you guys, you know, giving us some questions for this. But a couple of you asked, why did we sell that pick when we're such a young team and we need talent? You know, why did we sell that pick? I have my theory. What's yours?
You know, I think, you know, I'll say what Jeff Weltman said about the pick. He said that, I believe he said that the team has a lot of young players already. And they didn't want to take up another roster spot, essentially. Like, if you draft a second-round pick guy, you're saving a roster spot for him. That's one less you can spend in free agency. And so I think, you know, you look at the Magic. I don't think a lot of us realize this. The Magic were the youngest team in the NBA playoffs last year by average age. Their starting lineup was certainly the youngest starting lineup in the entire NBA playoffs. And so I think there is the thought process that you need to save some spots for older players to kind of help balance the roster out, give some veteran presence. And the reality is the Magic are rebuilding, but they're also a playoff team. And I don't think they want to lose either part of that equation. I think they want to have their cake and eat it too a little bit.
Sure.
And so, you know, if there wasn't a player that you absolutely love, and I think some people really did like Talen Horton Tucker. I was not among them. 6'4" power forwards are not my jam. I think that there wasn't anyone they really loved. There wasn't anyone there that really they felt like would contribute to the team, you know, quickly or, you know, be a good project to invest in. And so I think they kind of said, you know what, let's leave that roster spot open and punt it for next year if we ever get that pick.
And let's break this down a little bit into reality of the ages of this team. I have the current roster up now, and I'm just going to go through the guys that are currently under contract, not restricted free agents or any of that. So The first person I hit is Timothy Mozgov. He's pretty old. Let's not even go about him. DJ Augustine, I think he's in his 30s, right? Evan Fournier, he's like 28, 29. Then Jonathan Isaac, 21. Markelle Fultz, 21. Wes Iwundu, I think he's like 23, 24. Kemp Birch is, I think, 26.
26, 27.
Yeah. 24. But then you got Bamba, 20. Melvin Frazier, he's 20, 21, something like that, right? He's pretty young. Aaron Gordon, 23. And that's it.
DJ Augustine is essentially the only player on the roster that played minutes that's older than 30 years old. Like, wrap your head around that. He's only like 31, 32, I think.
But then you have Evan Fournier.
Nikola Vucevic is 29. Evan Fournier, I think, is 27, he comes back, 28.
Yeah. So going into next year, let's say you need to have some veteran presence, or we just kind of end up in this super young team that's cycling around, like, trying to get things together. And you kind of look like the Suns. You could look like them. You could look like the Kings did a couple years ago.
But in fairness to that, it's you know, I worry less about the age approach. Like, sure, this is a, you know, a young team, but now you have Aaron Gordon with playoff experience. So he's been in the league for 5 years. It's also more about, you know, making sure you have the right veterans. So, you know, we're not saying age for age's sake.
Right.
But at the same time, if you have another young guy, another like really young guy, especially a rookie who needs to learn the league. And you know, like Melvin Frazier is going to be essentially a rookie if he can scratch the rotation next year. I mean, he played a little bit in garbage time, but I don't think he played a single meaningful minute this entire season for the Orlando Magic, at least. If you have a lot of young guys who just don't know what they're doing, they're going to make mistakes. And Orlando is still trying to win. They still want to make the playoffs next year. Even if they lose Vucevic and Ross, their goal will be to make the playoffs, and then they're going to, I hope, try and find a way to field a playoff team that still emphasizes the young guys that they want to build with. They don't want to go back into that mode where they're just collecting young assets and young players and throwing them out there. It needs to be purposeful, and if there isn't a purpose to it, they shouldn't be drafting that guy.
Because answer this. We did have someone ask, like, why didn't we just draft them and stash them in the EuroLeague? Is that even possible?
Or would that still take up one of our roster spots? I mean, it would not take up a roster spot. A roster spot's only taken up if you sign the guy. So, like, Tyler Harvey's a really good example. The Magic drafted Tyler Harvey, four or five years ago. They never brought him over. They actually never even signed him to a training camp contract. They drafted him. You know, the draft, especially in the second round, becomes a lot of these little side deals. They drafted Tyler Harvey specifically with the intention of camping him in Erie at the time with the Erie Bayhawks to play in the G League that year, with the thought of, we'll bring you back over for summer league and decide whether to bring you into training camp. The Magic never actually brought him into training camp. They never actually signed him. He went and played in Europe for a few years before they traded him to Memphis last season.
Sure.
Technically, if Tyler Harvey ever wants to come to the NBA, even though he has never played an NBA minute, the Memphis Grizzlies still own his rights. So he is he's property of the Memphis Grizzlies whenever he wants to come to the NBA. Like Fran Vasquez is the same way. Everyone loves mentioning him. The Magic drafted Fran Vasquez. He never actually came over to the United States to the NBA. Continued playing in Spain. He had an interesting career, not a great career. And so the Magic actually retained his cap hold. So that's actually a little, you know, nugget of information there for free agency. The Magic retained his cap hold. So if Fran Vasquez ever does come to the NBA or wants to come to the NBA, he has to go to the Magic first.
Interesting.
Because they have his right. So those kind of deals, they do happen. But the player kind of has to agree to it. And a lot of agents, you know, if their player, you know, isn't going to make the NBA, they're not trying to get those deals. In the second round, they're trying to convince NBA teams, don't draft my guy.
Sure.
So you find out, like, especially toward the end of the second round, you get a lot of Euro guys that will never make the NBA. You get a lot of maybe domestic players who weren't going to otherwise make an NBA roster who are like, yeah, I'll spend a year in the G League. You know, draft me. I'll go to your G League team. I'll work out with your summer league team, and we'll talk again next year. And they'll make that check, or they'll get that check. I mean, so there's a lot of like kind of wheeling and dealing toward the end of the second round that a lot of people, you know, don't really think about.
And we still kind of ended up with someone in the second round. I believe they signed someone at the –
They signed for Summer League, they signed Daquan Jeffries from Tulsa, who's probably considered like the first or second best player that wasn't drafted. So they still got a really – they still got an interesting young player out of the deal that, you know, Jeffries will probably get a two-way contract this year.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, like, we still got – essentially, we got a second-round pick without having to use a pick and got some cash back, which they can spend on – I don't know, the team lunch or something like that.
Exactly.
Who knows? So, all right. Anyways, that's enough about the draft. Let's get into what really matters right now, and that's free agency. That's coming up this Sunday, the 30th, and the Magic have a lot of question marks. We got our two really big unrestricted free agents in Nikola Vucevic and Terrence Ross. That's the hot topic right now. Then we have a couple of restricted free agents in Ken Birch, who actually he's a pretty big topic too. He's going to have a lot of buzz from
he's
what I hear.
He's very quietly a big topic that I don't think a lot of people are talking about.
And then,
but at the same time, he's not, because all indications are the Magic will match any offer he gets.
Sure, yeah. There's no reason not to. Then you got guys like Gerald Martin and Jaren Grant that are unrestricted that I don't imagine the Magic matching anything on them. They'll probably be somewhere else.
But as of now, they've not offered them qualifying offers, so they will probably be unrestricted free agents come Sunday.
Right.
Which tells you everything you need to know.
And they did send – they did pick up Wes Iwundu's option already. So I would think that if they were going to send them a qualifying offer, it probably would have already been done by now.
Yep.
So
they would have done it all in one fell swoop.
Smart move, which is great. I don't think that was a question at all. He definitely proved himself to be an NBA player, which was a great second-round pick. But we got a lot of other things, you know. There's a lot of scenarios that we're going to try and hit tonight. First and foremost, let's just hit the big guns coming right out. We got Nikola Vucevic and Terrence Ross. It's a crapshoot with these guys. And to me, yeah, there's parts of me that want to bring them back. There's definitely parts of me that don't want to bring one of them back or both of them with all these different scenarios that could play out. The Magic don't have cap space. We really don't. In order for us to have cap space, we have to renounce both Ross and Vucevic. We have to stretch Mozgov. And, you know, if we really want to get big cap space, we got to stretch Mozgov and potentially even flip DJ or Evan Fournier to get, like, max or slightly above max, if I remember my numbers correctly. And all that to happen can happen, but it's complicated. So... But before that, with cap holds and everything, we are basically running at cap and going into free agency with exceptions. And that's not a lot of flexibility. So the Magic, they have to settle up on Nikola Vucevic first and Terrence Ross, essentially, and so they can kind of figure out what's going on. This is my opinion. Do you see that sort of the same way? Like, that's their approach. They settle up first, figure out those guys.
I mean, by all accounts, the Magic have said their main focus in free agency is to take care of those guys first. And sure. I do take them at their word on that. I think just as a matter of doing business, I think it shows everyone else around the league that we will take care of you first. You are our priority when you're with us. And if you play well for us and you deliver us the goods, which both of them did, you know, we're gonna talk to you first. You are our priority. Now, whether they're going to make a deal that's marketable or within market range is definitely another question. Because while I think that, you know, this season was a really good one and both Ross and Vucevic were integral to it, this is still part of a bigger picture. We're now entering year three of Weltman's tenure. And as much as Magic fans hate when everyone says this, this is a new rebuild. The previous 5 years before Weltman do not count. He is reshaping the team in his image. And the question that has to always be asked is Nikola Vucevic part of their vision for the future? They drafted Mo Bamba. They really like Mo Bamba. They've gone out of their way to say they really like Mo Bamba. It's hard to imagine that they don't think Mo Bamba is going to be their starting center. Now, whether he's ready to do it now or whenever is another question. But Nikola Vucevic also is probably entering the only time he's going to get a big contract.
Right.
He signed a small extension, a really team-friendly extension. The last time around, This is his first bite at the apple. It might be his only bite at the apple as a 29-year-old center. So he's definitely motivated to get as many years and as much money as he can. Orlando, not so much. Now, I think Orlando should meet with Vucevic first. I think they should meet with Ross shortly after, but I think they also have to be working down the other track too. They have to be examining, okay, what do we do if Vucevic is gone? What's our plan B? What's our plan C? And talk to those guys early and then make decisions on this is the track we have to go down. This is the path we have to walk. Whatever their plan A is, it may not be Vucevic. They have to be willing to walk down that path and make that step when it comes, because, you know, we talk about those cap holds that have the Magic operating above the cap. Those cap holds are easily renounced. Sure. If the Magic say, you know, we'd rather sign this guy than Nikola Vucevic, you know, you could easily say, okay, Nikola Vucevic is off our books. We'll take that cap room and sign the new guy. That's really a cap mechanism. It's not an actual thing that sits on your books. You can waive it. You can bring it back. You know, do whatever you need to. You don't have to do anything to it until you need it.
Right.
And so I think Vucevic and Ross are their priorities. I do take them at their word on that, but I think they're also prepared to do a whole bunch of other things if they can't find a deal. And frankly, with some of the numbers we're hearing about Vucevic going around, I think it's getting really dicey that he may not be back.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams with money out there this year, and a lot of teams need some center help right now, and Vucevic has a lot to offer at the center position. And sure, he might not fit on some teams because he is got his limitations as far as like the speed he can play at and stuff like that, but he does a lot of other things really, really well. And you know, seemed to take a huge leap this past season. So we'll see what kind of offers he gets. I think he's going to be in high demand from quite a few teams, especially with how many other centers are renouncing their rights. You know, Al Horford renounced his, Willie Cauley-Stein's trying to be a free agent. The Mavericks are looking for a center, in my opinion, you know, the New
Lakers
York teams
are
looking
for
the Lakers. A lot of teams are looking for centers right now, and he could get interest from all sorts of people. Now, I think the Magic will definitely give him an offer. And for me personally, it's not so much the money that we give him, it's the years. And that's really what it means. And ideally for me, if we were to bring him back, you know, it's on a 2-year deal, because the next big free agency summer is 2021, 2 years from now, not next summer. So that's the next time I want to have flexibility in the cap. And if we sign him much longer than that, it could make that summer complicated. Does he go for a really big 2-year, $50, $60 million offer? I don't know. He might really want something more to 4. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the ultimate question, because we could sit here and talk all about what the Magic want, and the Magic certainly want a team friendly deal. You know, if he was insistent on a 4-year deal, you know, I might do a 4-year deal if it's front loaded, and if it's around, you know, averages out to like $21 million, maybe you could twist my arm and make it 22 front loaded. I don't know if that's what he wants, you know. I don't think he wants a 2-year, $50 million deal. I think he wants a little bit of security, because, again, this is probably the only time he's going to get a big contract. At 31, you know, 31, 32 years old, he's probably not going to get the same kind of offers that he'll get now. I mean, I think a lot of GMs and front offices are getting smarter about this and kind of understanding players and managing their cap better. But at the same time, it's the NBA, and it only takes one GM to go crazy.
And he's not the type of player that can just do these one-on-ones like a lot of the, you know, super elite guys. You know, he doesn't have that option in front of him.
I mean, we all know, I mean, and I think this has been part of the big debate with the Magic, or with Magic fans on Vucevic. We've seen Vucevic at his best. We know all of his flaws. We know, you know, and I still believe this to a certain extent. He puts a little bit of a ceiling on your team. There's only so much you can do with Nikola Vucevic as your center, as well as he played this year. There's still only so much you can do. And the question then is, how much are you willing to pay for that? How long are you willing to pay for that? And, you know, are you willing to kind of keep that cap on the team for a little while? Now, I skew on the conservative side. I think that this team needs Nikola Vucevic right now. I'm not confident yet that someone else can take over the offensive reins in the way that Vucevic did. And I value his consistency. I do think that that was really important and stabilizing for Orlando, especially as they kind of figured themselves out. At the same time, we saw in the playoffs, Vucevic by himself isn't going to do it. Someone else needs to step up, and eventually someone else needs to kind of take over that starring role from him, because there probably isn't a whole lot more the Magic can do with Nikola Vucevic as their starting center.
Sure, and I respect that view, and I really like it. And let me just say this outright. If I see Vuce back on the team next year, I'm not going to be like upset, but I sort of take a slightly different approach myself. I'm of the sense of, yeah, fine, bring Vucevic back on a team-friendly deal. That's fine. But it also stops us from playing a certain way. Sure. I really enjoy seeing fast-paced basketball. And sure, in the playoffs, things slow down a little bit, but we got these young players that have so much athleticism and speed that they could be playing with, and we're just a little bit limited, and we can't necessarily see that with Vuce on the floor and DJ running point, because they automatically sort of bring it to this slower half court basketball, and we don't get to see them run in transition as much. And you know, we were one of the slowest teams in the league last year, and that's really kind of disappointing when you have an athletic freak like Aaron Gordon ready to just jump at everything. And you know, Jonathan Isaac can play quick in transition. So like, there's a really big part of me that wants to see that, but also it's like, you got to find a way to fill in the offense, and how will that happen? I'm not sure. So let's play the scenario for a second. Let's say Vucevic gets a 4-year, $23 million offer a year from the Kings or whoever. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
The rumors going around is he's getting 25, which
25.
I'm
sure.
Still,
I was being conservative. I don't think he's getting that.
Yeah.
But you know, 23 a year might be realistic. Who knows? But something that we don't feel comfortable matching, right? And he's not on the team. Would, if you were playing GM, would you go look to find a stopgap point guard or a stopgap center, or would you roll the dice with Bamba, Birch, and hopefully Mozgov can be somewhat serviceable?
You know, I'm kind of slowly coming to the idea and the thought that Orlando should or could go with Birch as sort of their stopgap starting center. I mean, honestly, this is like kind of the hard part of it all, as it really depends on how comfortable the Magic are with Bamba. Having watched Bamba last year, I think Bamba is still another full season away from being ready to start full time.
Definitely.
But that's incomplete information, because A, he only played about half a season and was starting to figure things out and make some real progress before he got hurt. But we haven't seen him play at all. I mean, he could go out in summer league and be a defensive wrecking ball and just, you know, be, you know, and I expect him to be kind of a man among boys. Like, I expect him to know what's going on, that in the way that you see a lot of second year players know what's going on. Like Jonathan sure. Isaac last year, and even Wes Iwundu, although Wes didn't shoot the ball particularly well, you could tell they were better than a lot of players on that floor just because they knew what was going on. That NBA experience helps a lot of those players, and they're able to kind of get what they need out of summer league and dominate games, even if they're not scoring particularly well, which I don't think either one really did at the end of the day. But if they are watching Bamba and seeing the gains that there's, they want to see, and he's able to play, so he's probably played at least some pickup, you would imagine.
Sure.
And they feel comfortable with it, then yeah, go with Birch to kind of start the season as the center until you really feel comfortable with Bamba, until you really know Bamba's ready. And then you can flip him and split those minutes really easily, and then find like a third center, whether you run with Mozgov, which maybe you do, or you run with, or you go out and sign like a kind of low salary center. But you know, there are some slip through the cracks. Look at Brook Lopez. No one signed him until the very end of the summer and turned out to be one of the most impactful players in the NBA.
There's a ton of centers available this year. I got the list right now, and I mean, you know, they have, this is off of Hoops Hype right now, just their centers. And just to let everyone know, Nikola Vucevic is number one on their list. But, you know, just scrolling down, you know, Robin Lopez is down there. Now, I don't know if he'd take a deal that I want, but, you know, I think he could still get a decent deal this summer. But you got guys that might be able to do a couple, you know, 1-2 year friendly contract. Frank Kaminsky.
Rashawn Holmes is someone that I've looked at.
Nene, you got Joakim Noah. There's a couple of guys you could bring in and do Marcin Gortat. You could bring them in and do a center by committee and just kind of let them play out. These are types of centers that, in my opinion, are not going to be offended when they get asked to sit down and be a bench player because, you know, be Bamba or Ken Burch is deserving. You can kind of just play best case scenario until Bamba's truly ready. So they have options, in my opinion, if they really needed to.
I don't think center, outside of Vucevic, I don't think center is a real long-term concern. I don't think the Magic have to go out and find a long-term center.
The only
guy I would give more than a 1 or 2 year contract to is Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah. Yeah, if I were to sign another center this summer, it's for a 1 or 2 year deal. I don't want to sign anyone long term. It's definitely 1 to 2 years, just because, like you said, and I 100% agree, Bamba needs at least one more year without starting center pressure on him yet, where
he needs one more year to get bailed out
by someone else. Yeah,
he needs to earn the spot.
If they don't bring him back, you know, he needs a center in front of him that you know, doesn't necessarily demand the same type of minutes, you know, that Vucevic does either. You know, he needs the opportunity to play.
Sure.
Sort of my opinion there. What's your opinion? Do you want to bring him back?
I am comfortable with whatever happens. You know, I think Vucevic has got to take care of himself and you know, he absolutely should get paid. I would like to see Vucevic back, but again, only under those strict conditions. You know, team-friendly deal. You know, if it's a mega deal, it's a two-year deal. Nothing crazy, because I'm still not convinced that Aaron Gordon's ready to take over the offense. I was very encouraged with what I saw in games 3 and 4 of the playoffs when he finally kind of got it ready to go. And, you know, he's had such wild swings between wildly inefficient last year to too conservative, or wildly inefficient 2 years ago to too conservative last year with how he attacks. Like, I want to see him at that happy medium before I hand the keys to him. You know,
sure.
I'm still waiting for him to pass his driver's test, so to speak.
And I think we'll see him kind of find his balance a bit more. We don't have to talk about this position just yet, but I think we will find Aaron Gordon really find his position of maybe being that go-to number one option when they have a point guard that's a little bit more, that can take some of the pressure off of him. Because right now the best guard that can take some pressure off him is Evan Fournier, and everyone hates him right now. So
Evan had a bad year.
He did. But
that,
like,
was not an Evan Fournier season. He did a lot of things better and a lot of things well. But unfortunately, like, his main role is to shoot the ball, and he shot the ball very poorly this year, and he would admit that.
But to have Evan be the go-to, like, best option guard is not good, in my opinion.
No.
So I think in order for Gordon to really hit that ceiling, he needs a complimentary guard to help him out. And right now this team doesn't have that. Unless
the Magic's big issue, as we saw in the playoffs, I mean, the playoffs reveal your every weakness.
Yes.
The Magic do not have someone who can beat you off the dribble one-on-one. They don't have a one-on-one creator. No. Right now, it feels like they have a lot of guys who work really well off the ball, you know, attacking rotations and working off of cuts. And, you know, that's where Vucevic was really valuable, because he's a really good passer out of the high post. You dump the ball into him at the elbow. He's either able to make that shot and keep the defense honest, or make the right pass, set a screen out of a horn set, do what you need to do to get the offense moving. And what Toronto did really, really well was they pushed Vucevic off his spot. They pressured him and doubled him whenever players tried to rub off him. They switched everything. They put a bigger guy on DJ Augustine and bet that Evan Fournier wouldn't hit threes. He didn't. And, like, their defensive strategy just completely strangled the Magic, and they just had no way to get out of it until Aaron Gordon kind of decided, I think, in the midway part of game 3, and especially in game 4 in the third quarter, I've got to score. Someone's got to create something. It's got to be me. I don't care if Kawhi Leonard's playing me. And I'm hoping that was really, like, powerful for him and kind of got him going into the summer, because I thought he was the best player on the Magic in that entire series.
Yeah, he really was. I was actually just going to say that as well. Aaron Gordon was the most consistent and best player on that team, besides, you know, that one moment of clutch god DJ Augustine. You know.
I mean, but like you look at
for real. Yeah.
But like the DJ Augustine play, and you know, we're sidetracking a little bit to discuss the playoffs a little bit.
We are.
That was, you know, he scored 19 of his 25 points in the first half of that game.
Yeah.
The Magic forced the first adjustment of that series. They put Danny Green on DJ Augustine, and Danny Green just shut him down, because at the end of the day, DJ doesn't have the positional size the Magic like.
Sure.
And so they put a bigger guy on him. They put a really good defender on him. They put their, honestly, their third best perimeter defender, which they have very good perimeter defenders already. So Danny Green would probably be one of the better perimeter defenders, best perimeter defenders in the league. They put him on DJ Augustine, and they again, choked the Magic off. DJ Augustine is their best creator off the dribble. He couldn't create anything off the dribble the rest of that series.
Yeah.
Until the fourth quarter of game one, and then never again the rest of the series.
And then this is where, you know, we're not going to go down this rabbit hole, and this is why everyone got so frustrated with the draft that we didn't even get close to addressing the guard positions, because, like, we all know that's such a huge hole for us, and we need that. And, you know, let's get back to the free agency, because the one super solid guard we had, you know, he had his weaknesses for sure, was Terrence Ross. And he's going to be in high demand. He can fit on almost any single team. You know, you stick him on a second unit and let him run around and, you know, catch and shoot as many shots as he wants. And it's, you know, he's going to hit a bunch of them, and he's really good. But he seems to really enjoy Orlando. He seems to want to be here. He's doing a lot of, you know, he's done a couple of off season activities with Orlando and in the Orlando Magic team. And, you know, seems to be spending a lot of time in Florida on his boat at the lake or whatever. And, you know, I don't know. I think he wants to be here, but I also think he's going to get a lot of offers from a lot of other teams. Do you have any feelings on Terrence Ross and kind of where the team's at? Because, like, honestly, if I'm going to overpay for one of the two players, Nikola Vucevic or Terrence Ross, I feel more comfortable overpaying Terrence Ross a little bit to keep him around, just because he can kind of fit any style.
I think that is certainly the case. Ross's market, I'm finding really hard to pin down.
Sure.
Because, like you said, he's a guy that fits in anywhere. He is going to be in high demand. We know the Lakers are going to chase after him. It sounds like the Sixers are going to chase after him. I've heard some unsubstantiated rumors that a bunch of other teams will chase after him. There's going to be a lot of teams going after him. You know, I think he's happy coming off the bench, but to keep him, it sure sounds like you're going to have to pay starter money. At yeah. least 14, maybe 15, maybe even $16 or $17 million a year. And, you know, now we're talking about, like, Evan Fournier's contract. And, like, Evan Fournier, when he signed that four-year deal, like, people thought it was probably a little too much, like his stats were a little inflated. But, like, you look at him now, it's like you can't get rid of him.
Right.
And so you better be certain that Ross is going to keep up this production. And it, you know, I think he can. I mean, I think he had a really, really good year, and he'll probably come back to earth a little bit. But you better be sure that he's going to keep that production up over the lifetime of the contract if you want to keep him. And I think you're right in some respects that I think he is the guy you overpay for, because shooting is so valuable, especially for this team. But at the same time, I feel like you can spend that money, you know, more wisely elsewhere, that you can spread out that resource a little bit. You can go get a player like a Jeremy Lamb, who's coming off a really good year for,
yeah.
you know, maybe not a huge difference, but like $3 or $4 million less is big over the course of the contract. That's another player you could sign, maybe. You could go after a Reggie Bullock, who's also a very good shooter, or even a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. There are other players that you could chase that, you know, aren't going to give you the same thing Terrence Ross gives you, but, you know, you could get them, and, you know, other players can pick up the slack, and they'll still give you something for much cheaper. And I'm not saying, you know, you need to be cheaper or you shouldn't pay for someone. If you think Ross is worth $16 million a year, pay him. Pay the man.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, you never know. There could be someone that does a J.J. Redick offer where they say, 1 year, $23 million, come play for us for a year.
Yeah, and that could be very enticing.
That's something that Terrence Ross could get. And, you know, sure. like, and then, you know, if he has another great year, he gets another bite at the apple. I mean, that's you know, like, I think Redick even said, like, you know, I'd be, you know, I want the years, but I'd be a fool to turn down $23 million a year. I'm never going to get that. I'm getting paid like a max player when I'm not.
You said a couple of names there that I want to touch on for a second, so we can just like talk about a couple of replacements if he were to walk, because at the end of the day, it's Terrence Ross's decision, not the Magic's.
Yep.
If he's going to play on us, you know, they'll give him an offer.
I'll say this, sure. This too, you know, back to that point about Terrence Ross liking it in Orlando. I think for both Ross and Vucevic, if all things were equal, if money is equal, you know, for every situation, I think they'd rather stay in Orlando. I do think they like it here in Orlando. I think Weltman has said they feel ownership over what they're building here. And I think they want to see it through. It's just, you know, what are the Magic comfortable offering as far as years and amount? And is it competitive to the rest of the market? And then ultimately, it's their decision.
So, all right, let's play a couple scenarios. So we have, you know, let's say we have Vooch on contract for another couple of years. And we have to replace Terrence Ross, right? He's gone. He joined some other random team. You said a couple of names that I have on my list in my hand. You said Jeremy Lamb. You said Reggie Bullock. I like both of those guys. Keith Smith said this on your podcast the other day, this player, and he's someone I've had my eye on since almost the start of the playoffs, Rodney Hood. I think he would be a good person to take a flyer on. You know, he played well in the Jazz. That was a decent organization, but they didn't want to sign him long term, so they flipped him to the Cavs, which was a super unstable organization. Then he goes back to the Trailblazers, which is a very stable organization and has a really nice year. I think coming to a stable organization that's growing in the right direction like the Magic, he could be a really nice six man off the bench that can do a little bit of creation and also be a decent catch
and shoot
player.
Plays a lot of the same style as Ross too, as a slasher.
Yeah, I think he's got a little bit more creation that he could do, but he can slash, he can shoot real well. I think he's the type of younger player that you could take a swing on, and he's probably the type of player that would take a, you know, not a super long-term deal. He's, you know, I don't know how many long-term deals he's going to get. I don't know what his market is.
You could probably get him on a three-year deal. I have the feeling he's going to be in like the 10, 11, 12, maybe $13 million per year range.
Sure.
That's actually kind of the range that I think Jeremy Lamb's going to end up, like 10, 11, 12 million per year. And, you know, the Magic would have to do a little bit of maneuvering to get that kind of cap room if they re-sign Vucevic too. Because Vucevic's cap hold is $19 million.
Sure.
The Magic's cap amount is about $20 million in room. So you'd have $1 million in room. So you'd probably have to stretch Mozgov. That'll get you to back to 13. And that's how you would be able to bring in a player like that. So the Magic can get there.
They can, for
sure. Magic
can
keep Vucevic and get there. But I feel like Hood's going to be in big demand. Like Hood and Ross are kind of competing in the same market, I feel like.
Yeah.
And they're both going to get about the same amount in that like 13 to 15, maybe $16 million a year range. That would be my concern.
So...
But who would be a best case scenario, I think?
He would be a really nice replacement, I think. He's pretty high on my list. And then I got a couple other guys. Holiday and Rivers, I think, would be both. Not Drew Holiday, his brother.
Justin
Holiday. I think those would be nice lower-end options that we could get on the team that can, you know, play that six-man type role. Austin Rivers can play, you know, a little bit of combo guard, which is nice, too. We did have some listener questions, and one of them was, and I'm kind of backtracking, if we retain Ross and Vucevic, what kind of growth can we expect out of this team? I have my theory. What is yours?
No matter what happens in free agency, the best way for the Magic to improve is still internal improvement.
Yes.
The whole key 100%. To this whole thing is Aaron Gordon gets better, Jonathan Isaac gets better, Mo Bamba gets better, Markel Fultz gets better. The whole, like, the Magic, you know, the idea of going after D'Angelo Russell is fun, and I think it's, you know, at least worth exploring and debating. And
I think there's a little real in there.
Fishing around a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this team probably doesn't need to go after the big fish because they have to hope the big fish is already on the line. They've already got him on the hook. And the limit for this Magic team is ultimately decided by how those core four guys that we all talk about, how much they grow and what they ultimately become. Aaron Gordon's obviously the most advanced. And I think a lot of people were disappointed in Aaron this year because he didn't take the star turn that we all hoped he would. He kind of took a step back a little bit in scoring, and it improved his all-around game. I thought last year was Aaron Gordon's best season of his career.
Agreed.
But now we want to see him kind of take more responsibility and more ownership of the team in a more aggressive and assertive way.
Question on Aaron Gordon. With Vucevic on the team and Clifford running the offense the way he does through Vucevic, do you think Aaron Gordon can actually get to that level?
Yes. I think that Steve Clifford was determined to win. He was going to put players in the best position for the team to win. He wasn't going to, and I think Frank Vogel did this. He wasn't going to give Aaron Gordon the space to kind of operate as he wanted and experiment. That wasn't his jam. We saw very early in the season when Aaron Gordon tried to do the crazy dribble moves, create an ISO.
Clifford
stopped him right away, yelled at him. And honestly, like I've joked about this. It was like breaking a horse. I think Gordon bought in that day when he was like, oh, this coach ain't playing around. I can't do those things.
Yeah.
If Gordon proves that he can do that, that he can be more effective and efficient that way, the offense will shift to him. He'll get the freedom to do that. I think the playing through Vucevic was a necessity. It was the best way for the team to win. And I think it helped a lot of people, honestly. I think it helped a lot of players. But I feel like if the Magic need to shift their offense to a Gordon-centered offense, they will be able to do that.
And do you think Vucevic would be able to do that as well?
I think Vuce would. He's played most of his career with Orlando that way, I think. I think last year was honestly the first time the Magic ran their offense primarily through Vucevic instead of through pick and rolls. So yeah. I think you can adjust the levels, but honestly, sure. At that point, the question then becomes, okay, you just paid Vucevic how much money, and now he's scaling back in the offense. So
yeah.
Everything's tied together that way, I suppose.
All right, so we're starting to run out of time a little bit. We've already been going for 45 minutes.
There's a lot to get to.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to. So let's have some fun, and we probably won't get to everything tonight, but let's have some fun here for a second. In my opinion, this is fun. We don't have Vooch. We don't have Ross. We renounced their rights. We're going to go in a different direction. We want to make a lot of cap space, so they decide to stretch Mozgov, which this is all a very real possibility, and we get somewhere around $30-something million to play with this offseason. What do you think the Magic do? Do you think they take the big swing and go for a D'Angelo Russell? Which, again, I don't know if he would come here. There's a lot of teams going to be chasing him, but I think he might take a meeting with us. Yeah, he's got to take a. We got to hopefully get the meeting with him. Do we go for a big swing like that? Do we scale back and try and overplay for a player like Malcolm Brogdon? He's another really big name floating around with the point guards. Or do we kind of just stick with the guards that we got and spread that money elsewhere? Like, what would you do with $30 million if you were playing GM of the Magic this offseason?
Yeah, I definitely go try and get a meeting with some of those big fish, especially D'Angelo Russell and to some extent Malcolm Brogdon. I think I at least try and get a meeting and see what's there. But the one thing I can't do is spend recklessly.
Sure.
So I go after some of those role players we talked about, Rodney Hood, Jeremy Lamb, like guys that very clearly can fit in with the team is currently constructed, support them and help them, and kind of be a big boost for them. The other thing I do is I explore trades. With open cap space, you can absorb more salary into that cap space than you send out. There's a lot of talk. I mean, and honestly, I may even do this before stretching Timofey Mozgov. All the talk about Houston trying to trade some guys to go get Jimmy Butler, maybe they're willing to do the stretch Mozgov deal. Maybe if you're feeling really comfortable with your team, I don't know if I'm at this point, maybe you send Mozgov and a first to Houston and bring back Eric Gordon, who can do a lot of the things that that Terrence Ross does and is perfectly willing to come off the bench, or at least he has been in the past. Maybe that's the route you go. You never know what trade options will arise over the course of a summer. You kind of wait to see how the market shakes out and see if there are any bargains lost. I mean, that's how the Magic got Jonathan Simmons, which looked like a really good signing at the time and wasn't a terrible signing at all. At the end of the day, you got to do something. You got to do plenty to support your young roster. And I think if Vooch is gone, If Vooch is gone, especially, it probably means it's time to throw Gordon into the deep end a little bit.
Yeah,
and say this is your team. We're gonna build a roster around to help and support you, but it's your show now, buddy.
He was co-captain last year. He's got to step up.
Yeah, and Fournier's got to step up, and you hope that Isaac takes another step. You hope that Fultz is healthy and starts looking really, really good. You're banking on that your internal improvement is going to help you maintain your spot. Maybe you take a little bit of a step back record-wise, but you start kind of gaining steps, and you bolster your bench, you bolster your depth, and you know maybe the one guy that you chase that I'm not the biggest fan of this guy, but Terry Rozier. You know, if that's the case, then you get it on him.
I don't think you can say that ends up that name so. Around me.
I'm not the biggest Terry Rozier guy.
Yeah, I am really not high on him at all. He just, I don't know. Not my cup of tea. If I were to have to go after point guards this summer, the two I already said, D'Angelo Russell, Malcolm Brogdon, those would be the big ones. And other than that, I'm not really, I need a
bucket
getter.
I'd go smaller on the point guards. The way I view the point guards is, you know, the Magic are perfectly comfortable with DJ Augustine starting.
Sure, they're great.
Until Marco Fultz, again, same deal as with the center position. You're kind of biding your time until you think Fultz is ready. And so, you know, I chase after maybe a point guard like Dellen Wright to play the Michael Carter Williams role, essentially. Yeah. Just be energy, long defensive-minded point guard that kind of gives you a little kick in the butt off the bench.
That's another question. Like, what are we doing with Michael Carter Williams and Briscoe? Are we bringing them back? I don't know. I like them. I'm not in love with them. I don't have any emotional attachments to them. Yeah, like, there's
I hate
so
saying
many
that
guys
they were so vital,
list.
But they're you can Dele find.
Dellon Wright is
a,
is an upgrade to me to them. You know, there's so many guys out there. Corey Joseph is another one that
would be
easily an upgrade over them. You know, TJ McConnell, he's, you know, a lot of people
I
like
would try
him
and
or hate
chase
him.
Danny Green,
yeah,
in that situation, like bring in a veteran, bring in someone who's got championship experience that's got to kind of keep this team focused.
I was thinking about this today. The reason why I'm not okay with bringing back Briscoe or Carter Williams is and looking for someone else is because we got lucky last year with health. We might not be so lucky next year. If DJ goes down and Fultz is still a gigantic question mark, we don't know what he is, who's going to run guard? We need someone to be able to take that spot that I am somewhat comfortable with, and I am not comfortable with either Carter Williams or Briscoe doing that.
Not long-term. Like they were great in the roles that they played.
Sure, exactly. But, you know, that's why I look at some of these other guys. We'll see. And I want that guy to be somewhat offensive. I was sick of looking at a point guards on our second unit that couldn't shoot. That was really frustrating. So we'll see. Well, Philip, you and I could keep going on in so many different scenarios talking about what if this and what if that and this question mark and that question mark and player X and all this stuff. But we would be here for hours and we would go deep into different, crazy different scenarios, and maybe that's a conversation that can be had in the future. I don't know. Free agency's a few days away, but let's wrap things up. I'm not going to make a prediction on what the Magic are going to do, because one thing I've learned is every time I think I know what the Magic are doing, they do something completely opposite. This front office doesn't say anything. And so I'm not going to make a prediction. And that's typically what I do in a situation like this with a guest, say, hey, what do you think's going to happen? Make your prediction. But I don't even want to ask you that, because none of us really know. It's a gigantic question mark. Running it back isn't the worst thing in the world if it's friendly deals, but also going after free agents isn't bad either, you know? So we'll see. I don't know if there's a right way to do this, but I do want to say thank you for coming on. I'm excited for this upcoming this upcoming week to see really how this team goes. This is one of the most exciting parts of the summer for all of us. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And if you have any last minute thoughts that you want to say, go ahead.
I follow this team. I talk to guys on this team. I am as much in the dark about everything that's going on going on in the Amway Center as anyone else. I cannot predict this offseason, how it's going to go, what this team's going to do. I think the final thing we have to say is this is the first summer where Jeff Weltman's feeling pressure. You know, he kind of got a pass the first two summers. The team didn't really have a lot of money to spend. The decisions they had to make were fairly easy ones, and if they made mistakes, they weren't killer mistakes. I mean, I think there are some criticisms you can make of Weltman's tenure so far, but they're not mistakes that kill you.
Sure.
This summer, there are mistakes that could kill you. There, yes. there are landmines to fall on in this summer, and you know if you make the wrong choice, you're kind of stuck in a place you don't want to be. You know, I think a lot of fans were somewhat critical of going for a playoff spot this year, saying, you know, you don't want to be an 8 seed, you don't want to be the 7 seed, you want the lottery pick so you can be a top seed. And I was like, wait, first off, you don't want to be perpetually a 7 seed. But getting there once is okay, as long as you're moving up. And I think you can clearly see this team is moving up. But if you make the wrong choice here, then you might get stuck. And that's not what you want. So, you know, I think this is really the first summer where we're going to see what Jeff Weltman, you know, president of basketball operations, decision maker for the Orlando Magic, we're going to really see what he's made of and whether he's going to be good in this in that part of the job. He's done a lot of the other parts really, really well. This is a big summer for him to show us what kind of general manager, what kind of decision maker he is.
It is, very much. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing what happens. Philip, I just want to say thank you so much. This show, like I said, we've been talking about doing it for a couple of weeks now. And you know, we've done a few shows together, and they're always a blast, in my opinion. So thanks for coming on. I can't wait to catch up with you a little bit closer to the season when we can talk about some of the decisions that were made this coming week.
I want to thank Stephen Cameron again for having me on his podcast, The Close Up Magic. You can search wherever you download podcasts for that. Also, check out his website, too, to get more of his thoughts and his staff's thoughts on the Orlando Magic. Again, that's Close Up Magic. You can follow them on Twitter, at The Close Up Magic. You can, of course, subscribe to Locked On Magic on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Himalaya, Google Play, anywhere you download podcasts by searching for Locked On and for searching for Locked On Magic, and of course the Locked On Podcast Network's there too, with Locked On and the team you're looking for. You can follow me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_OMD. And of course, for the latest on the Orlando Magic, including several answers to your questions that were submitted to me and Steven that did not make the show, I'll be posting a mailbag either late Friday, early Saturday to get you through to the beginning of free agency on Sunday. It's a big, 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 big day, obviously, coming up. But you can find all that on OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Follow us on Twitter for the latest on the Orlando Magic and all the free agency rumors at @OMagicDaily. We didn't talk about Thomas Satoransky. That's apparently out there in the universe. Who doesn't like 6'6" point guards? But that's going to do it for me. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode. For Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, as well as Stephen Cameron and Close Up Magic, this has been Philip Rossman Reich. We'll see you all again next time for season 4 of Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.